Welcome to the Alternative Cinema Podcast for November 2010. My name is Michael Rosso, and for this segment of the show, I have with me, back again, Henrik Kudo.
Yeah, it's me.
And Joe Kolbeck.
Just hold the coffee.
Just add a gunshot.
Hold the coffee up to the microphone.
Hello.
Perfect.
And we have an exciting month. It's now November. It's going to be an exciting show. Alternative cinema.
No, I'm just laughing at this picture.
Oh, he's laughing. We have many Polaroids laying on the table right now.
We have on the table.
I look hella handsome.
Oh, sure.
You troll. Check these levels. We have on the we have on our table in front of us a number of Polaroids. look at this one. Polaroid released a new. This is otherworldly.
Yeah,
Joe.
He looks like Mickey Mouse and Starman had a baby that was ugly.
We now have show notes, so if you go to alternativecinema.com in the podcast area, you'll see next to the actual podcast listing, it'll say show notes, which will bring you to a blog that will have pictures and video and all sorts of fun stuff related to what we're talking about today.
But not these pictures.
And what we're talking about today right now is the fact that Polaroid, everyone out there remembers Polaroid, right? Joe, good Joe.
No, what? This is the Alternative Cinema Podcast. We're talking about Polaroid again.
Well, I haven't talked about cameras on the AC Podcast since Film Photography Podcast spun off of... Film Photography Podcast is to what Happy Days is Laverne and Shirley. It's a spinoff. So I haven't talked about film photography since I spun off the show to the Film Photography Podcast. But since I just took a bunch of Polaroids, I do want my Alternative Cinema listeners to know that Polaroid just released a new camera. It's called the Polaroid 300. You can get it in Target, and it takes credit card size instant color pictures.
Instant wallet size, basically.
Yes.
They're handy dandy.
So, Henrik Kudo, what exciting has happened since the last time you were on the Alternative Cinema Podcast? But wait, before you answer that question, let me tell you what the AC Podcast is. Well, no, I just figured out. After over a year, I figured it out. The Alternative Cinema Podcast is your no-budget guide to making your movie.
Oh.
Very nice.
Right.
Your no-budget guide to making your movie. And I say guide because I would like to, you the listener, I'm talking to you now.
I want to guide you through your low-budget hell.
It doesn't have to be hell. It's going to be hell,
yeah.
But it could be less of a hell. Or maybe if you listen to what I have to say, maybe you'll stop altogether and just go back to doing something else. Well, congratulations, Henrik. You have a movie out.
I do.
It's called Faces of Schlock.
Faces of Schlock.
It's a DVD.
It is a DVD.
It's a compilation of short films made by a bunch of independent filmmakers, correct?
Yes, good friends of mine. Chris LaMartina, Justin Channel, Andrew Shearer, and myself.
How about that?
I'm pretty excited. I mean, I've promoted it, you know, as best I can. I'm still promoting it. I don't know. When this airs, it'll probably be a little ways after it first came out.
Did you have a shindig?
I did. I had a performance in Dayton, Ohio, my hometown where I'm living right now, and with my band, the Tallywhacker Express, as well as Jasper the Colossal, Sleep Fleet, and everyone except me.
And how'd that go?
It went pretty well. There was a decent amount of attendance, sold a few copies of my album. Just generally trying to spread awareness. Pretty excited.
Played music?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It was a loud night. Four bands for one low price.
And did anyone know that you released a DVD?
Yes, I announced it a few times.
Oh, you did?
Yep. Anybody who would listen? Knew.
What have you been doing since the last time you were here?
Since the last time I was here, my album, Euchre Consequences, came out officially on iTunes, Amazon MP3, Napster, eMusic, Rhapsody, everywhere music downloads are sold, as well as the physical album, which I'm almost out of stock. I'm really excited to say that. If you want to get a copy, you should go to euchredie.com. But that album came out. I formed the band, the Tallywhacker Express, shortly after the album was recorded, and we've been playing a lot of shows. And then here I am back on the East Coast because I played a little park show in Philadelphia at Rittenhouse Square, which was actually very successful in my opinion. They're moving the Polaroids around and giggling about them while I'm talking.
I was on the interweb. I go on the interweb once in a while. You know, I'm like juiced into a bunch of people on the Facebook.
Right.
I've friended way too many people on the Facebook, so I see their feeds of what they're doing. By the way, if you're listening to this and you're going to friend me on Facebook, don't bother. I've had it. Unless you have a camera in your hand.
Ooh.
A still camera, by the way.
Oh.
You're not getting in. I've had it.
What if it's digital?
I have too many friends on Facebook. That's no.
How many are you at?
I don't know, like over 1,000. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's not that bad. It's absurd. Only a 5,000 limit.
Well, it's completely absurd. There's no reason for it. Alternative Cinema is on Facebook. If you go to the Facebook and type in Pop Cinema or Alternative Cinema, you'll see our Facebook page, and that's pretty fun. AlternativeCinema.com. There's like news and stuff on AlternativeCinema.com. And, of course, I want letters from people. Alternative Cinema Podcast at gmail.com. If you're a low-budget filmmaker and you have a question, comments, or anything about low-budget filmmaking or no-budget filmmaking, send it our way and we'll figure it out. Now, I was on the Facebook and I saw that Andrew Kopp has made a new movie, and then I saw in the credits that you are director of photography, and then I saw the trailer and I thought, whoa. Now, is that your skill or is it just a new camera?
It looked good. Well, it's a good thing to bring up because this is shot on the new experimental thing people are doing now is shooting films on DSLR cameras, you know, photo cameras. And this is the Canon 7D that shoots full 1080p, 24p video. I had worked on it once on one of my music videos, and then I started shooting Andy Kopp's movie with it. I think that the new camera has a lot to do with it. It has a great long lens, but I really busted my ass, you know, lighting it really well and getting the right filters, getting like a good neutral density filter for when we're filming outside and working on shot composition, the incredibly temperamental focus that's on that camera. But I have to say, though, for a camera that costs about $1,800, it blows any camera that price away.
So there are issues when you go outside that you need a neutral density filter on the lens to kind of cut down the amount of light coming in?
Yeah, unless you want to just, you know, kill your depth.
Let me ask you a question. I know that if you're using a camera like that in the still photography mode, that you dial in an ASA or known as an ISO.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do the same thing when you're shooting?
You have an ISO. I'd shoot at the lowest ISO possible.
What is that?
200.
That's the lowest?
I believe that's the lowest ISO. On video mode.
It should be much lower.
That's on video mode, though. It can go lower in photo mode.
But if you're shooting a film on film, you could pick up a 80 ASA film. Why can't you dial in 80 ASA on that camera?
Because it's a digital camera shooting 1080
HD. They only give you so many
options. By the way, folks out there listening, there's this new camera. It's not new anymore. It's called the Canon D7.
7D.
7D.
I swear to dog, you got to
Last year, it was like everyone was like, if I ever made a public appearance, people would be like,
hey, man, I'm shooting a new film.
And then like someone, like be like three guys, and they'd come up to like a chiller table or somewhere. But like one guy would be like,
hey, man, we're shooting a film. You know, it's a horror film.
Then like some other guy would like nudge through the crowd and like say very proudly,
yeah, and we're shooting it on the Red.
So are you telling me that this year now the new, like the Red is not as popular and now the Canon D7?
I think it's going to kill the Red, hasn't already.
Well, the Red, though, is way higher price range than the 7D.
Is the Red way higher quality?
I don't know. I don't think there's really a noticeable difference.
It's too much of a pain in the ass.
I've seen commercials, like major mainstream commercials being shot on the 7D.
Are any...
Prince of Persia was shot with like a few 7Ds.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What is the Prince of Persia?
It's a new movie that came out or is coming out. I don't keep up with it.
You should probably check if that's true instead of just lying on the air.
Mm. No, I'm pretty sure.
But no, the Canon 7D has a few drawbacks. For the price, that's what I keep saying. Like, if you buy a $5,000 Canon, 1080p HD camera, like the one they shot Crank 2 on or something, like, yeah, it's going to look a bit better, but you're talking about $3,000 more.
Right.
So if you want to only spend $2,000 and get a really high quality 1080p movie, then you just have to deal with a few aspects of the 7D. If you want, I can go into it. I can talk about
the 7D.
Yeah, I can talk about the good aspects and the bad aspects I've experienced. I filmed like 6 or 7 days of Andy Kopp's movie Church of the Eyes, which you can find out more about at Kopp Films, C-O-P-P Films, on Facebook.
Well, I can tell you, Henrik, that technicalities bore the pants off of me, seriously, because I'm not into all that technical stuff. But I can tell you there's probably a few people out there who want to hear about this.
I can make it really simple and brief.
Please, go ahead.
All right, number one, the screen. So you got a screen that's directly on the back of your camera.
Yes.
you have to always be looking directly at the back of the camera.
Why is that?
Because there's no, it's not meant to be a video camera for such extended periods, so there's no movable eyepiece, movable LCD screen. So one of the biggest issues is if you're like trying to get a low angle,
yes,
you have to keep your face directly pointed at the back of the camera to see what you're getting, unless you get an external monitor.
Oh.
So that's a major issue. Pulling focus is rough because it's such a small screen, so you really have to kind of practice and practice and practice and then kind of do it by kind of by your instinct. It overheats, but not often.
So it just bursts into flames?
Not quite. A little temperature gauge will say, hey, it's getting a little hot. Because the camera's so small and it's black, so if you're filming under direct sunlight, which is the only time I've ever had it overheat, was under direct sunlight.
Is it possible that you could actually put a fan on it?
Actually, my idea is those ice packs that you you punch and then they get cold. If you put one of those on it, it'll keep it cool.
Seems like that would shut it down for, or it'd be like, you know, freeze miser.
They're not that cold, the ice
really?
Packs. Yeah, and you wouldn't hold it the whole time. You could just put it on, and the camera's warm. I mean, it gets warm because
really?
It's a small camera, and there's a lot of chips going and stuff, electricity going on inside.
Do you have to record audio separately?
That is an issue that I haven't dealt with too much because Church of the Eyes is MOS, which stands for Meet Up Sound. Actually, Mike has an example of the Zoom recorder, which we're actually recording the podcast on. That's what generally what people use to record audio. It does have an audio in, but a lot of people, I would say they're snobby, won't use it to hook their mic into because it has auto gain control. So it turns itself up and down depending. Mm-hmm. But I really don't think it's that big of an issue.
Now, was this the first opportunity you had to work with the, what's it, D7?
Canon 7D.
Okay.
I had worked on it before on the music video for my song Drunk Girl.
Okay.
And I thought that video turned out really well.
And did you have to read a book, or did you just dive in?
I actually got a DVD. It was really inexpensive, called How to Shoot Great Video with Your Canon 7D. And it was a tutorial video.
Is that right?
And it also had a ton of stuff about how the lenses work.
This is a separate book. By the separate.
It's a video. It's a DVD.
Oh, it's a DVD.
It's from Exposure School or
and
Shutter
School. And
did
you buy it, or did you BitTorrent it?
I actually bought it for $14.99.
Congratulations, Henrik.
But it worked pretty well. I mean, the video, by the time you're done with it, you know how to shoot gorgeous looking video on it. And they shot the entire instructional video on 7Ds. It's a guy who does like weddings and corporate videos and stuff. Uh-huh. And he's talking about how he's gotten rid of all of his camcorders and solely uses 7D.
And what type of lighting did you use with this D7? 7D.
I actually lit it.
By the way, I'm a Canon guy.
Well, you should be.
Well, I own like a boatload of film cameras, mostly the Canon AE-1.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I lit it pretty simply. I had two pro lights with barn doors.
Okay.
I had 2,000-watt halogen work lamps.
Okay.
Two 650-watt ground work lights.
Okay.
These are like a
so when you say work lights, you
I got them at like a Home Depot or a Walmart.
How are you able to control the light coming out of the work lights?
I would use gels and diffusion.
Okay.
See, when you're working with Joe would know about this too. But Joe's asleep. No. But no, when you're working with work lamps, the only issue is that they're warm. They're not timed for video, so they're very warm light.
Of course.
But if you put a really mild blue gel over them, then it cancels it out, and then you get a nice pristine video.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, this movie was very stylized, so there were a lot of green gels and hard blue gels and red gels. I mean, that's all I worked with, was mostly work lights. And I'm very happy with how it's come together.
This is not the first time I've heard of filmmakers working with work lights.
Yeah, well, Joe's movie Blood and Sex Nightmare.
Is that true, Joe?
No shot work lights. Yeah.
There were, if I understand correctly, there were no pro lights at all.
No.
It was just
none,
work lights.
None at all.
How did you harness your light to? How did you harness or control your light, Joe?
No, what do you mean? Well, the same way he did with gels and diffusion and whatnot.
Did you use any black wrap cinegel to form?
Yeah. That's true. We had black wrap and we had like flags and stuff like that.
Okay, black wrap for folks out there who don't know, basically is black aluminum foil. You can get it at a camera store or a lighting supply or certainly online.
Or you can spray paint aluminum foil black.
You can. It might catch on fire.
Yeah, it's different.
Well, it depends on the kind of the kind of.
You could use aluminum foil.
Yeah. It would cancel the light out.
Also, known as Kookalorus, which is a cookie, which is a piece of cardboard that's, a piece of cardboard that's heat resisted. That has shapes cut out of it.
Yeah.
So you shine a light, hard light through the Kookalorus to make shapes on your wall.
Okay.
In film school, we used to use pizza boxes and just cut them out and then put them on a stand far enough from your light so you don't cause a fire.
Delicious.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So this D7.
7D.
This 7D is, I mean, it seems to be this year, 2010, seems to be a bit of the bomb.
It's the new DVX. Like the DVX was, but the DVX was huge for like 2 or 3 years. The 7D, I keep saying it, but it's like, if you have like $6,000 or $7,000, you can get a better camera.
Right.
But if you have $2,000 to shoot 1080p, this is your best option.
And this Red is really, really expensive, correct?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I know there's like a consumer version that's like six, I think. And the Red has a lot of advantages because, you know, you can hook real 35mm lenses to it. Now you can build an adapter for this for the 7D, but all the lenses, you know how photography lenses are. I mean, sure. They're incredible. There are so many options. Imagine making a movie through those lenses. You know, they look great. It's like a moving picture.
On the 7D.
You got it.
On a 7D, you can swap out lenses.
As long as they're compatible with that camera, you can swap any lens you want. It's a DSLR. It's a really high-end DSLR.
We should also mention that when you buy the Red, you're just getting a hard drive. You have to buy everything else separately. The viewfinder, the lens, everything. You can't even see through it when you first get it. So,
right.
You know, for your money, between the two, I would say go to 7D.
Yeah. Well, and listen to Joe. He's here.
And he's here. He's here after all.
And there's a trailer online.
For Church of the Eyes?
Yes.
Yes, you can find it on YouTube. Just search Church of the Eyes.
Right. And on our show notes page, I'll have a link to the trailer.
Andy is going to be so stoked that I come on Alternative Cinema Podcast and mentioned his movie.
Wow.
And I'm glad.
So if you take me out of the environment of my day-to-day here, which is miserable, by the way, then... I'm fine. I would love to talk about. That's why I enjoy talking about Andy's film, because I saw that, you know, you guys are you're involved with it and you're lighting it, and I was a little surprised. I'm like, oh my God, Henrik is the director of photography, and I say that with a little bit of pride because, you know, you worked here and you were exposed to a bunch of stuff here directly, indirectly, and you might have even been on. Were you behind the scenes on any like Brett Piper movies or anything like that?
No, I wasn't.
You must have been behind the scenes on some.
Really wasn't.
You were not behind the scenes.
I was never on a set.
Never.
Never. I wanted to be. I never was.
Oh, okay.
But no, Joe would be to blame for a lot of that. Joe taught me a lot about lights.
Oh, okay. Lighting. Is that true, Joe? Late at night, you guys would...
I suppose. Would... Did you learn? Did you learn from watching me or no?
Yeah. Oh. How many times was I asking you what the fuck you were doing?
No,
you were...
that's good.
So I like talking about the movie-making process because, you see, when I was making movies, I was a cameraman doing lighting, so I didn't care about the content. So for Ghoul School, all I did was walk through the setups. Or, you know, actually, it's more important, I think, to talk about The Basement, which is a Super 8 feature film that I shot that Tim O'Rod directed in 1989 that's coming out on Camp Motion Pictures, on Camp, on VHS.
You're putting it out on VHS?
We're putting it out on VHS.
I didn't know that. You're putting it out on VHS.
We are putting it out on VHS.
For reals.
For real.
Are you going to put it out on Blu-ray too?
No. It's in a VHS box with a DVD.
Oh, okay.
And on a DVD will be all the extras.
So you're going to get a VHS manufactured?
That's right.
Where? I mean, is there still places?
We're going to do it right here.
Believe it or
not. Joe, you'll be up all night with your eyelids taped up to your forehead.
Believe it or not, can you believe that there are still... companies that manufacture VHS.
I'm not surprised that they manufacture the tapes, but that they duplicate them?
I think, yes. I would like to know. I guess I'm going to ask Jeff, who is in charge of operations here, what's going on, who's duplicating the VHS, and that company, what do they do? Because maybe there's some folks listening can tell us, in the middle of America, are there companies still releasing like corporate VHS tapes?
I bet you they're not. I bet you that what they do is they have the stuff to make DVDs and CDs.
They just happen to have the VHS.
It's just there, and it's just the first place that didn't throw it away.
Yeah.
That would be my guess, coming from near the middle of America.
But we talked a little bit about the 7D.
There you go.
And the fact that a lot of folks out there are recording audio separately. Now, I'm sorry. Oh, you did an MOS film.
We did an MOS
film. MOS means no sound, basically. So you didn't no sound. There's no dialogue on this film.
The small instances, they're all being looped.
I see.
So, but it's an experimental art film. So, I mean,
it can be a nice double feature with a Tony Marsiglia film.
Oh yeah.
Tony out there, I understand, listens once in a while. Hello, Tony. I would like to tell you really quick that I miss you very much and I love you.
I think Tony's movies are a little bit more narrative than Andy's.
No kidding.
Andy's movies are very non-narrative.
When Henrik came into my messy office and he sat down and I said, one of the first things I said to Henrik, I was like,
ice from the sun.
Mike is on several prescription medications.
Ice from the Sun was a film that was shot on Super 8 by
Eric Stanzi.
By Eric Stanzi. It's an art, like an art film.
I don't know, yes and no. It's just kind of a, it's experimental.
Yes.
It's an experimental movie. And shot on almost all Super 8, I believe.
I believe so, yeah. Like quite a few years ago, probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10, easily. I think it was like 98 or 99.
Yeah.
Stanzi's a talented guy. I really like his stuff.
Now, so Henrik came in after we talked a little bit. Actually, this happened before, I think. He showed me, for what reason, I don't know, his Zoom H2 digital recorder.
Okay, that's not how that went down. That's not how that went down at all. I just passingly mentioned it, and you had me go down to my car and get it.
And I photographed the entire...
Yes, you did.
Photographed it, yeah. Well, I was curious because I've been looking for... I'm off doing podcasts for the film photography podcast outside the studio, and I would have lugged a large, out-of-date laptop with me and the power supply in its own suitcase in order to record podcasts outside the studio. So Henrik introduces me to this Zoom H2 digital recorder, which we're using right now, by the way.
Yes.
And I am really stoked.
It's an incredible piece of technology. I use it to, I got it mainly to record my band,
mm-hmm.
At live gigs, but also I do demos on it. And in the future, I'm sure I'll be shooting on the 7D and need sound.
Right.
So I got it ready to go.
Really quickly, tell me about your band exploits. Since you were last on the podcast, your record has been released?
Yes, Euchre Consequences.
And are you satisfied?
You know what? I've gotten some really, wonderful response from it. I'm sure it's out there, but I've yet to get a negative feedback. George Robb, who's a musician I'm a very, very big fan of and who I respect deeply, he sent me a song-by-song review critique of the album, and it was super positive and super kind.
Super positive.
I'm stoked. I can't.
What was it?
What was what?
Did you say it was super...
What? Super kind and super specific. It was a very good...
Did you say review. Super positive?
Yeah, I think I did. Super positive.
Super positive.
But it was what it was. It was super positive.
I don't get it.
That's a WAV file from the Film Photography Podcast. Dwayne says super positive.
Scary.
Super positive.
But no, I mean, I've gotten a great response, and the new album's already written. I don't know what we're going to call the album yet.
Are you in the black or in the red?
I'm in the black. I was actually with the system I came up for pre-sales, I was in the black before it came out.
Really?
Just barely. I mean, I'm not, but you know.
Exactly.
But I had to set realistic expectations of it. That's what I did. I mean, before the album was even finished being recorded, I had pre-sold 35 copies.
Wonderful.
So I mean,
fantastic.
Considering I manufacture 100 at a time, it's right. pretty decent.
So, and you have a new album on the horizon?
Yeah, if I knew what the title was going to be, I'd tell you. But I mean, it's still in debate.
Okay.
So
it's called 100 Dicks Later.
Close.
And on that note, we're going to be right back right after this message.
The fantastic duel of the century, the most ferocious battle in history. The flesh and blood King Kong fights his most incredible enemy, a 60-foot robot King Kong forged of super steel. King Kong escapes. All new, all thrilling in Technicolor. King Kong battles missiles, monsters, and a King Kong of steel. King Kong escapes. A Toho Company limited picture, a universal release.
Hi, my name is Butcher.
I'm Brain Chomper.
And I'm Gambling Man.
We're here to tell you about our show, The Killer Reviews Podcast. Each week we discuss movies new and old, talk about our lives, and every once in a while we'll have interviews like Fred Vogel from Toe Tag Pictures, Daniel Harris of the Halloween franchise, and Charles Gibson, the special effects supervisor for Terminator Salvation.
We also have special episodes like our full review of the Alien Quadrilogy, A Nightmare on Elm Street retrospective, and Clash of the Titans.
And we're also very, very sexy.
Especially you, Gambling.
Yeah.
Our podcast is available at killerreviews.com.
And if you sign up for our forums between now and 2012, you enter a chance to win a romp in the sheets with Big Butch.
Hey, we're back. Joe has a new cup of coffee. And I want to tell Henrik, Joe won't care, so I'm just going to turn my chair and
there
talk
you go.
To him.
Stupid Joe.
Now, you may be unaware of this, and I think the world is unaware of this because I've never announced it. And Greg Dumont, our webmaster, said, well, you know, why don't you just talk it up on the show? And I will tell you, Greg, that I have not talked it up on the show for any particular reason that I just always forget. And that is, did you know that there's a forum on killerreviews.com? Like, there's an alternative cinema podcast forum on killerreviews.com.
Killerreviews.com?
So, someone listening, if you don't want to send an email, but you want to go on a forum, you can go to killerreviews.com. You go on the site, then you see, there's the bar across the top says forums. Go into forums, F-O-R-U-M-S, forums.
Yes. Forum.
Forums. Yeah. And you will see podcasts, a bunch of podcasts. Is the Killer Review podcast, the Movies About Girls podcast. You got a bunch of other podcasts. You have Alternative Cinema podcast. That's us. And I printed out a sheet from the forum. And there are people in there like Xander Kane, who may also listen to the Film Photography podcast, and another guy called Skull, which came from hell. Now, I don't know these people, but...
I know Skull.
Xander Kane says, just listened to my first show and loved it. Desiree was great on the show, and thanks for putting her on. Can't wait for the next one. And this was a few months ago, September podcast, where Desiree Saisha was the guest.
Right.
And you were also on, Joe.
Yes.
And I thought, this was the first time she was on a podcast, and she was great. Here is what Skull, which came from hell, says. He says...
Just thought I'd echo what Xander said. I hope Desiree makes another appearance on the podcast soon. I'm looking forward to hearing some more of her band's music. One thing that I'm a little disappointed about is the loss of discussion regarding AC's forthcoming releases. This was a regular feature on earlier podcasts, but it seems to have disappeared over the last few months.
It kind of disappeared with John Fedeli.
Yeah.
It's almost like he had the suitcase with him.
Right.
Like he just left and like all the... And you know what?
Let's talk about some releases.
Absolutely correct. And I think it's because the releases are so goddamn filthy.
I'm in. I can read them for the first time ever if you want. That way it'll be funnier.
Well,
I don't know half the titles.
Well, on September 21st, Faces of Schlock and Defiled came out.
Woo!
And on this month, on the 23rd, a movie comes out called
Diary of a Sex Offender.
But I would say that it was very reminiscent of a Maniac.
I would say you're right. This is known as an exploitation film.
Yeah.
Bit of a throwback to sort of the feel style of a 1970s, 1980s. Now, you hear that a lot. You really
throwback. Do. Throwback, yeah.
And I can tell you that this film will deliver all the sleaze. It'll make you feel dirty after you watch it.
I felt dirty, and I had I had to author it on DVD.
Oh, that's right. So you did the authoring.
It was very... I actually had to Formula 409 my Macintosh computer after it was exported.
On the same month is what's known as Sleazy 70 Stags, featuring Uschi Dygaard. Did you author that as well?
No, I didn't.
And these are 8mm films that were... made in the 70s, that used to be, you used to be able to buy these in camera stores under the counter. Like, you go in. First of all, camera stores in the 1970s were little mom and pop shops, and you'd buy your camera equipment, you'd buy your film, your cameras. There's always been kind of an underbelly of sleaze in the whole still photography world.
Well, yeah. The moment you could capture an image, wouldn't you want to capture the image of naked people?
Especially with, like, an instant camera, like Polaroid.
Yeah.
So you'd walk in, and you'd know your camera guy. And you'd, there'd be like a lot of like wink, wink, hint, hint, hey.
I got some stuff in.
And that guy would sell you in a white cardboard little box a 50-foot roll of film, probably for about 20 or 30 bucks. And you take it home, and then, when your wife or girlfriend or mom wasn't around, you would, because back then you couldn't just sneak into a room and use a computer, you'd have to actually set up a projector. That would make an amazing loud sound. And you would screen this movie on a wall while, no one else is around. Or if you lived, alone.
Right.
That would be the easiest way to route to go.
And you'd buy these Super 8 or 8mm films, and that's the way you saw, you know, a stag movie back in the 70s. You didn't have it on a computer like you do today.
That's how you got your filth.
That's how you got your filth. So that's what's going on in November, because our listeners asked. Also, in the same month, I just want everyone to know.
Buy Faces of Schlock at alternativecinema.com.
This whole year, we've released a few notable releases, like the San Francisco Sex Collection, which is a collection of films made by San Francisco filmmaker Nick Phillips. This studio has been releasing Nick Phillip films since about 2002.
And he was also the guy who directed the notorious Crazy Fat Ethel, a.k.a. Criminally Insane.
That's correct.
Crazy Fat Ethel.
I forget that our listeners actually want to hear about this stuff.
Yeah.
October 12th, Sculpture, which is a film by Pete Jackalone, starring Rainn Brown and Misty Monday.
Oh,
yeah.
A name from the past.
That's right. You've worked actual shows at the same table with Misty Monday.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah. On November 9th, which this month, we'll see 42nd Street Pete's
Busty Bombshells of the Atom Age.
Atom!
Do you know anything about that, Joe?
Yeah. It stars his two adopted daughters.
Illegitimate daughters.
Illegitimate, or whatever the hell it is. Serena and Catherine.
Yep.
And these are loops by that were made by Joe Bonica, who used to shoot atomic bomb, you know, test footage.
And they were shot in the 50s, right?
Bomb footage.
Right.
Now, in the you'll get the packet. Look on alternativecinema.com on the left hand side. There's a small button that says sale items, and you can go to sale items, and you could look in there, take a peek, and you'll see stuff like 42nd Street Pete's
Busty Bombshells of the Atom Age.
On sale.
Or Faces of Schlock.
Yes, or Faces of Schlock. We'll probably keep Faces of Schlock on sale for a little while since we're bringing it up again. Now, coming up in December next month, give a little peek into the future.
There's a movie called Two Big Boobs.
Oh, Two Big Boobs.
What's that all about, Henrik?
Henrik, what's that all about?
It's almost like a sequel, kind of, to an after-hour cinema title called Dirty Old Movie.
That's right.
And it involves these two nincompoops
who
get into the stag film business after the Great Depression.
Buddy Zeppelin and
Arthur Beasley. I just was like, I remembered that, really?
And their boss is Hal Zito.
Yes,
he owns the studio, and he sends them out. You know, they'll come. They're like bumbling fools, and they need a job. And Hal Zito will say to them, "Take this camera and shoot people having sex."
I should have mentioned hideously ugly bumbling fools.
And Buddy Zeppelin will say, "Is it legal?" And Hal Zito will just be like shrugging his shoulders.
And now you don't need to get the DVD.
Unless you want to see Marilyn
Zeppelin
Monroe.
Buddy Zeppelin says to Arthur Beasley,
"Come on, stupid."
And then they're walking around town. Buddy Zeppelin will say, "Oh, look at that." And they look in a window and they start filming.
Right.
And who does it star? I kind of mentioned that.
What's a good word?
Purportedly?
None of these are words.
Purportedly stars Marilyn Monroe in The Buff. The famous Apple Knockers and a Coke loop.
Wow.
Is it Marilyn Monroe in The Buff? I don't know. Is it?
Is it advertised as Marilyn Monroe in The Buff?
Big question mark.
Yes. Oh, I mean, no, I don't know.
If you folks out there Google Apple Knockers and a Coke,
wife will be angry.
There's a whole Wikipedia page. And let me just say this. Seriously, folks. No, seriously. Apple Knockers and a Coke is noted on the web as being the most famous nudie loop ever filmed.
Wow.
It is the most famous nudie loop ever filmed. And it is on Two Big Boobs. And I don't think it's commercially available anywhere else.
It's even more famous than Two Pears and a Dr. Pepper.
That's right.
Wow.
And apparently it was directed by Buddy Zeppelin.
Apparently,
How about that?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Mazel tov,
right?
Exactly.
Mazel tov.
Also in December, Scrambled Sex. You may say, "Well, what is this Scrambled Sex? What does
it's
that
like
mean?"
Scrambled eggs, right?
You see, in the early '80s, before cable, some TV channels offered a service at night where you could watch like softcore movies from Europe, and they would give you a descrambler that was an antenna on your roof. So you'd be able to watch through a UHF channel. Do you know what UHF channel is?
It's that movie with Weird Al Yankovic.
That's right. Yeah. If you don't know what UHF is, you know what the movie is. And basically, back in the day, there were the main channels on the VHF signal, which was channel 2, channel 4, channel 7, channel 9, channel 11, channel 13. You know, you had your 13 channels. You had your ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, yada, yada.
Dumont Network.
Yes. The next to your dial on your TV back in the day, you had a sub-channel. So you would turn your channel switch to U, and then the channel switch below it would light up, and you'd be able to dial channel like 31 through channel like 72. And on those channels, you had a channel from Long Island, you had a few PBS channels, you had a lot of Spanish channels, and then you had in the New York metropolitan area, channel 68, which the folks around here may remember as the channel that aired the Uncle Floyd Show. The Uncle Floyd Show, Channel 68, which was followed by or preceded by Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea and a few other shows. So as a kid growing up in Lyndhurst, you're bored with 13 channels. You're so bored that you watch PBS, and that's how I discovered Monty Python. Because it's not much choice. So you drift into UHF, and you just stumble upon Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and then you stick with it, and then after that came, all of a sudden, the Uncle Floyd Show. And we're talking about 1974 through, like, 1980. I mean, by the time 1980 rolled around, I was, you know, in high school. And, yes, Henrik.
I'm very fucking old.
I didn't say a thing.
It's okay. I can see it on your face. You can't even believe it. Like, I said the word 1974.
The Uncle Floyd Show is brought to you by Bronto Burger.
Bronto Burger. I said the year 1974. Really, your face just lit up. Like you couldn't even
because
like,
I was
you couldn't even register it.
I was thinking of that joke. That's honestly what it was.
Which joke?
The Uncle Floyd Show brought is brought to you by Bronto Burger.
Oh, because it's that old?
Well, I was it's radio, please.
We walked into our favorite spot to dine, which we're going to be dining with tonight.
I'm excited about that. By the way,
shout out to Angela up at Max Diner.
Hey, Angela.
Oh, very nice.
To Angela, to Scott Gordon.
Scott Gordon
to
Jackie, and I are talking
to
right
Jackie.
Now.
To so Jackie. Scott Gordon, member of the Uncle Floyd Show, hangs out at the Max.
Yes, he does.
He usually just walks in. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bring the Zoom recorder with me, just in case he's there, to do a quick interview with him.
Do it.
About I'm going to be like, Scott, please tell me about Channel 68 and Wameco Home Theater. Do you remember Wameco Home Theater? And I will tell you very quickly about what Wameco Home Theater is, because really, if you're listening out there and you haven't turned us off yet, it's fascinating. And what's fascinating about it is, after hours, not the video label, after hours, after Uncle Floyd is over, it's like 8 p.m., all of a sudden the signal will become scrambled on Channel 68. And softcore porn would appear. Now, you could hear it, but you couldn't see the picture. The picture... Oh, no.
Because the thing is, man, is like when you're driving on the road, I mean, like you get a person who's that rude, I mean, they're going to kill you. So, like, if you give them a quick, sharp shock, they don't do it again. Dig it? I mean, he got off light because I could have given him a thrash, you know, I only hit him once.
The Uncle Floyd.
I'm so torn. I can't tell everyone out there. I am so torn between doing, like, you know, a very productive podcast, being all, like, you know, very professional, and just, like, having a, you know, network, film network kind of podcast where I just rant fucking rant.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna... Something just knocked over.
Oh, my camera's dead.
Where I just rant more more crazily than I have in the past about.
And the crazy.
And the trend of film.
And the film. And you want blockbuster? Take it.
So that's what scrambled sex is, huh?
Okay, after hours, you get a scrambled picture. So you could subscribe to that channel, and they'd put an antenna on your roof that would de-scramble it.
What kind of cost do you think? Are you talking on that?
I think you were talking like $12 a month back then.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
And you wouldn't get just smut. You'd get all sorts of new. It was sort of like HBO. HBO, if I'm not mistaken, launched in the early 70s, early to mid 70s, HBO. And it was all new back then.
Mike, you're fine. Now, scrambled sex.
Scrambled sex. So, a good friend of ours who was involved with the business back then, he was involved in the distribution business back in the day. And, you know, the movies that were on these kind of channels are in this collection. Scrambled Sex, Erotic Cinema of the Early 80s.
Softcore?
Softcore, absolutely right. Softcore. So, but you can go on online.
And these have never, have they been on DVD before?
These are not
super rare.
These have not been on DVD before.
They're foreign, or are they? Are they?
They're, yeah, domestic? There's a lot of imports, from Germany, West Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're dubbed, which makes them a lot of fun.
Even funnier.
Yeah. So they're sex comedies, and they played on the Wameka Home Theater back in the early 80s. And it's a fascinating slice of history that's gone. And probably the most exciting thing about this collection is the liner notes booklet written by Ed Grant.
Ooh, okay.
So
I just want to mention, Joe, did you ever watch the scrambled cable channels? Like the Spice Channel that was all scrambled?
Oh, what? Really?
No, yeah.
No.
Before cable boxes, the Spice Channel, I remember, was channel 65 on my TV. If you went there, you would see like just a fuzzy like sex stuff. And no sound. But just
I forgot. I didn't know it was called the Spice Channel.
Well, back then, I believe it was the Spice Channel. Because that was the hardcore channel, because Playboy was the softcore channel. I'm just trying to throw a little bit of nostalgia for people my age in there.
Oh.
Keep doing that.
It's not made very well. It shouldn't just topple over like that, should it? I mean, there's no... This is the Polaroid 300.
There's no bass.
There's no, the bass is curved.
All your bass are belong to us.
What are they thinking?
No, they're not thinking anything.
They're thinking, yeah.
Probably for the American version of this camera, they actually took the bass off as a goof. What? And that's what I got.
Awesome.
That's what I have. We're going to be going to Max Diner.
And we're
going to
eat.
So we're going to wrap this up. This was great having you back, Henrik.
Thank you. I was glad to be here.
And congratulations on a number of things. Your recordings, on you playing out live gigs, on introducing me to the Zoom H2 digital recorder, onto DPing Andy's film, and...
the release of Faces of Schlock on DVD home video right now.
The releases of Faces of Schlock. Well, I mean, this is a stellar year for you.
When you say it like that, it seems like I have a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and you know, and I'll mention this just... I figure I'll just mention this in passing, but, you know, if anybody cares to check it out, I'll just mention it real quick. I do a sporadic podcast called The Freak Forum.
And yes, whatever happened to The Freak Forum?
It still goes on. I actually recorded 3 episodes on the drive up on my Zoom recorder.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hoi, hoi, hoi.
But, but no, I just, every now and then, you know, I'll post a thought or whatever. It can be scary, but, you know, it happens. So if you're out there and you're hungry for podcasts like I am, then feel free, just get on Facebook and look up Freak Forum. It's easy enough to find.
And what's your ukulele site?
Uke or die.com. I know, isn't that a great name for the website?
Uke or die.
Uke like ukulele or die, like we all have to do.
And Joe, what's your website? What do you want to plug?
Chickenpounders.com.
It probably is a site.
Yeah, there's no video, but it's also a podcast. You can download the audio of me pounding my chicken.
If you folks wouldn't mind, go to killerreviews.com. There's our forum. Send an email to alternativecinemapodcast@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you folks. And tune in next month for our fab holiday edition where I pull out the records of the Christmas that almost wasn't. Do you remember remember how fun that was last year, guys? Were you around for that?
I wasn't here, but I can get the podcast from anywhere.
So. Have you heard? Did you hear that one?
Of course I did.
There once was a Christmas that almost wasn't.
Thank you for introducing me to that.
That's good. Fab.
I might send you some kind of a special MP3 for Christmas as well.
That would be great. Did you see the movie, Joe?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Did you
about.
Enjoy it?
It was great.
So, adios.
Hasta la vega.
www.chickenpounder.com.
Okay, I hit that.
Well, I was driving up the highway, thinking about I don't know what in particular, what riot I would find when I got to Berkeley, I suppose, when I noticed these strange vibration. Or was I falling in love? I often drive alone, but this time I was giving my friend and his wife a ride. Or was she falling in love? Now my friend don't drive, and he's not used to the strange vibrations in my 60 Dodge. But then if I had more money, I'd probably be worried about why this plane was wiggling. Amount of blind faith to make 99 in an old car, no matter what your experience or precaution. But I just had a tune-up. Well, anyway, you can't dodge the one with your number on it, so to speak. Why do I always seem to vibrate with my friend's old lady? It probably has to do with the fact I don't have one myself, and I don't want to mess with anyone else's. So whereas I'd come on to somebody desirable, I'm attracted to a chick who feels that I won't bite. Which is why when the car ground to a halt near Kingsburg, it was Fred who said that I needed a new transmission. I mean, after all, without a transmission, you can't go. I mean, you need an engine, but that's what you get on. And getting it on requires the transmission, which Fred felt under some tension to provide. Although the one he had was not negotiable, necessary. That's all.